Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night. Whenever you are listening to this, I hope it finds you in fantastic health. My name is Jordan McClain, and I am here to let you know that the following podcast is scheduled for one fall. Episode 14. Thank you guys so much for supporting this podcast for 14 episodes now. It really means the world to me. And I say that because I mean it. I don't say that just because I'm used to saying it. It really, truly does mean the world to me that you take time to listen to what I have to say. I hope that every single thing that I say, whether I'm talking about mainstream news or in reviewing an indie show or whatever, I really hope that you guys like what you're hearing. So the buzz this week, I guess we'll kind of tie this into mainstream news because nothing really major happened. But the buzz this week has been pretty much all about Bad Bunny. We're on the road to WrestleMania, and typically, once every few years, WWE likes to bring in a big-time celebrity for Hollywood crossover appeal and utilize them on the road to WrestleMania. This week, it is Bad, or this year, rather, is Bad Bunny. And what I really want to talk about is that I've seen a lot of people against it. I've seen a lot of people against any celebrity involvement. It's not just Bad Bunny. It's any celebrity involvement that WWE or the mainstream wrestling scene has going on. To that, I would like to reiterate a point that I have made when talking about certain people. And say, it becomes abundantly clear at some point when people in the wrestling business don't know how to handle the business side of wrestling. I'm not saying that you don't have the right to feel the way that you do about whatever you do. That's your right. You can feel however you want to feel. But understand, Bad Bunny is not taking anybody's spot. Bad Bunny is not taking anybody's spot. And a lot of people feel like he is. A lot of people say, well, you know, they're supposedly, it looks as if they are going to give Bad Bunny a WrestleMania spot, when they could build up, you know, a guy and put him in that moment. And I'm not saying I disagree, but what I am saying is a lot of people on the indie still have an indie mindset. WWE is a global wrestling promotion. They have fans in places that a lot of us have never even heard of. And a lot of us will never even be. So when they do this thing of bringing in a celebrity, when they do this thing of putting a celebrity in a prime spot on TV or on a major, you know, pay-per-view, it happens every single time, first of all. So many people get bent out of shape about it. But understand, this is a business. The smart business move is to put Bad Bunny, who is an international megastar, in this position. Now, there's a lot of you out there who is Bad Bunny? Stop it. Stop that shit, man. Because all you do when you ask who is Bad Bunny, when you ask why is Shaquille O'Neal in this spot on AEW, when you ask why any celebrity is involved in the professional wrestling business. You are doing nothing but telling the mainstream professional wrestling companies, the big boys, that you do not pay attention to the world. You may not know who Bad Bunny is. You may not listen to any of Bad Bunny's music. I don't listen to any of Bad Bunny's music, but I know who the hell Bad Bunny is. Why? Because I pay attention to the world. It's my job to know this kind of stuff. It's your job to know this kind of stuff. You're not going to get to WWE and AEW or Impact Wrestling. You're not going to get to these major promotions by saying, oh, I just want to wrestle. Because you are so much more than just a wrestler when you get to those spots. When you get to the WWEs and the AEWs and the Impact Wrestlings, you become much, much more than just a wrestler. So to say, to frown upon a major global wrestling promotion for having a global superstar as a part of their programming leading up to their global pay-per-view, you don't do anything but show your ignorance on the business side of things. I understand that a lot of people just want to wrestle. That's perfectly fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But you cannot say that you want to be in the WWE. You want to be in Impact Wrestling. You want to be on AEW. You want to be on weekly global TV. And you don't know how this thing works. Get out of the independent mindset and get into the mindset of being a business in yourself. Bad Bunny is a business in and of himself. His name is a business in and of itself. So if you're wondering why Bad Bunny has this spot, if you're wondering why Shaquille O'Neal had that spot, if you're wondering why WWE would waste their time bringing Snooki to WrestleMania, it's because these people are businesses in and of themselves. You have to do and be the same thing if you are going to get to that level. If your aspiration is to be a part of a global pay-per-view like WrestleMania, the grandest stage of them all, the pay-per-view that gets the most watches every year, does not matter, like clockwork, you know WrestleMania is going to be watched by multi-millions, if not billions, of people. You're not going to get there by asking, who is Bad Bunny? Hey kids, so listen, we got to talk about something at this point in the show, right? Because I have designated this block of time to be for mainstream news. The problem is that nothing is really popping off where the big boys are. There's nothing major, like no major in-ring, on-camera news for WWE, Impact, or AEW. Nothing super, super big is happening other than NXT Vengeance Day coming today, February 14th, Valentine's Day. So if you're listening to this ahead of time, fantastic. You'll know my predictions. If you're listening to it during the week, this part of the show doesn't even fucking matter to you. But like I said, I designated this part of the show to be for mainstream news. Nothing's really happening. So we're just going to go ahead and give my predictions for this show. We have three titles matches as well as two tag team matches for the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic finales, the men's and the women's tournament. So let's start with the women's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Finale, we got Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart taking on Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. I think, from what I have been seeing, now let's bear in mind, I have not watched mainstream wrestling. I haven't watched any mainstream wrestling regularly in a while. I follow enough Twitter and Instagram and YouTube channels to kind of know what's happening, kind of keep up with things. But I have not just sat down and watched any of these shows readily, steadily, regularly for a good little while. But for this particular match, I'm going to go with Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. It's been feeling like they want to sort of pull the trigger on Shotzi Blackheart. Ember Moon has come back to NXT and it's felt like she's right at home from what I could see. And apparently the winner of this match also will get a future WWE Women's title shot at some point, which would be dope because to my knowledge, no NXT Women's Tag Team has held those belts yet. So I think it would be good, and knowing that possibly at Mania kickoff, something like that, we might get that kind of match. I would think that they would want to put some people with some experience in that moment. So for this match, I'm going to go with Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart as the 2021 Women's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic winners. Next up, we got the men. We got MSK, Nash Carter, and Wes Lee taking on Grizzled Young Veterans, James Drake and Zach Gibson. I'm going to go with MSK on this one because I don't believe that, I mean, they just signed those dudes. And I don't believe that they would sign them and push them this hard to the finals of this now very important tournament. They've made this tournament really important. So I don't believe that they would sign them and push them to the finals of this tournament on a very special NXT episode to not have them win the whole thing. I think that they really want to set them up as a prominent tag team, not just in NXT, but eventually in all of WWE. So I believe that MSK will take that win. Next up, we got WWE NXT Women's title triple threat match. Io Shirai, the champion, defending against Mercedes Martinez and Toni Storm. For this one, I'm going to go with Io Shirai retaining. From what I have seen, there has not been a very strong buildup for anybody against Io Shirai, not just these two women, but even before this thing, whatever they have, has been set up. Io Shirai, from what I could tell, has been running roughshod down there at NXT, and I don't think she's in any rush to get rid of that title and come to the main roster. Although I personally would like to see Mercedes Martinez with a championship, I think Io Shirai is going to retain the NXT Women's title. Next up, we've got Johnny Gargano, the champion, NXT North American champion, against Kushida. I have not been following any of this. My last understanding was that Johnny Gargano was injured, but apparently he's not because he's listed as good to go tomorrow. Or tonight when you're hearing this. So just for the sake of me really not paying it any attention, I'm going to go with Johnny Gargano. And for the NXT title, we got Finn Balor, the champion, coming in against Pete Dunne. This match is probably going to end up being one of those classic NXT matches that years from now they reference as one of the top 10 NXT title matches of all time. I could easily see that happening. I would not mind seeing Pete Dunne as the NXT champion. If I'm not mistaken, that would make him the first person to hold both the NXT UK and the NXT title. But I do believe that Finn Balor is going to retain in this matchup. So I think all the champions are going to retain. I think Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart are going to win the Women's Dusty Cup because of a future women's title shot, women's tag title shot. And I believe MSK is going to win the men's Dusty Cup because I just don't see them signing them, pushing them this hard, and then having them lose on such a big stage. Now, the thing of this is, I'm not going to claim to know how WWE operates, but what I will say is that going into a major pay-per-view such as WrestleMania, I believe they have two pay-per-views between now and WrestleMania. Going into such a big pay-per-view, they want the focus to be on the main roster. I do hope there's been rumors that maybe Finn Balor will defend the NXT championship on at WrestleMania. There's been some, like I've seen a little talk about maybe Io Shirai defending as well. And while I hope that happens, I don't think it will. And if it does, I certainly don't think that either of those champions will drop their belts. We did have last year, Charlotte and Rhea Ripley, where Charlotte won the NXT Women's Championship. So it has been done. It can be done again. But I think that there is so much money now in the main roster titles, particularly Roman Reigns' title. There's so much money and stock in Edge and where he's going to go, and Bianca Belair and where she's going to go. There's so much stock in now this the upcoming Elimination Chamber situation. I don't think that they are going to put much focus on NXT this year. They still have plenty of time to do it, but I don't think that they will. So the safe bet for this show and NXT going forward, the safe bet, the way that I would play it, is to have everyone just retain their titles. And when we get to the unofficial season premiere of the WWE, which is typically the Raw right after Mania, when they like to shake shit up and all that, then I would look at, okay, do we want to call any of these people up? Do we want them to drop the belts here soon? How do we want to do that? How do we want to play that? But I always think that's a safe bet going from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania. The safest bet is always to just have people retain, so that way you know you have dependable champions going into Mania. Then right after that, you can experiment. Throw some shit against the wall, see what works. But I don't see NXT having a big shakeup this close to WrestleMania. If I'm not mistaken, this is the last like NXT special before Mania. Like, they always do one right around Mania. So I think this is going to be the last one. And then when Mania time rolls around, they'll do one, obviously, their Mania week, in a big NXT special. But yeah, I like I said, man, I think that the safe bet is just have everyone retain, continue any storyline that you want to. Hey, maybe they will at the big NXT show, Mania weekend NXT show. That would be the good time to pull the trigger. It's just too close to Mania. That's all I'm saying. I feel like it's just too close to WrestleMania to be trying to shake shit up and get everybody to get behind a brand new champion when you can continue the build up to Mania, because that whole weekend is going to be nothing. It's going to be watched the entire weekend. NXT show, Hall of Fame, WrestleMania. That has become a WrestleMania weekend. That whole weekend is going to be watched. So I think, once again, the safest bet, the way that I would personally play it, is for this show, have everybody retain. At the Mania show, if you want to call up EO or Finn Balor, if you want to call him back up, however you want to do it. If you just want to shake some shit up, the Mania takeover would be the best time, I think, to shake the room and do some crazy off the wall shit, change up the champions, if that's really what you would like to do. In other mainstream wrestling news, y'all know I try my best to stay with this news thing as far as what's happening on the screen, what's happening in the storyline. That's really my goal. But WWE has reportedly signed Christian Casanova and Blake Christian to their roster. Two people who fucking, listen, if this is true, WWE has straight up set themselves up for nothing but success. Blake Christian has been down here in Alabama a couple of times, I want to say. I know he's been down here once. I think the other time I'm thinking of, he was actually in Tennessee. But Blake Christian over the past, we'll say year, has really set himself up for success. He's been tearing it up. This trilogy series that he's had with Lio Rush as a part of GCW has been some of my favorite wrestling, period. Y'all know I said his match at GCW Slime Season, him and Lio, is probably one of my favorite, if not my absolute favorite, wrestling match of all time. It's a fantastic match. But Blake Christian is a really super, super talented young dude. I'm so happy that he's getting this opportunity. I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch for him and Christian Casanova. Now, Christian Casanova is somebody who I don't believe I've had the pleasure of discussing on the show. I might have mentioned him, but I don't think I've discussed him at length before. But I can tell you guys that once that report came out and I read it on Twitter, I had something immediate to say. Let me go ahead and go pull it up on my Twitter. If you want these wrestling hot takes that I be getting off, because sometimes I do just be getting off hot takes instead of waiting for the podcast, make sure you're following me on social media. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain. Like I said, sometimes when shit happens, I don't even think to wait until the podcast. I just start talking and get on Twitter and pop off at the mouth about stuff. So, what I said was, if I can find it, I tweet a lot. Damn. I thought I tweeted something. I definitely tweeted something. Because I seen the notification. There we go. So, like I said, follow me on Twitter. So, what I said about Christian Casanova, this is my tweet verbatim. Christian Casanova to WWE is the most guaranteed money signing they've made in a little while. Zero shade. Dude is a walking bankroll. The look, charisma, and athleticism. He's a main event. And that's honestly how I feel about Christian Casanova. He is a main event. I cannot wait, if this is true, because right now it's just being reported, but we won't know until most likely NXT does their new performance class. They'll most likely be a part of that class. But if this is true, man, Christian Casanova has, I think, all the potential in the world to be the next black WWE champion. I'm not even gonna hold y'all. That's how much I like that dude and how much I think if they invest money and time and energy into these dudes, both of them, Christian Casanova and Blake Christian, can both be main players in the WWE for a long time coming. God, I know you up there listening to me. Please, let WWE get it right with these two. Because while I know we will miss them on the independent scene, they will be absolutely missed. Their presence will be missed and their absence will be felt. This is what I be talking about, y'all. And this is what I talk about when I tell people they need to go to the independent shows that are near them, because you don't know who you're looking at. You know what I mean? a year ago, just a little bit over a year ago, was when I got introduced to who Blake Christian is. And I remember watching his match back after I had filmed it. And I remember it just came up on my Facebook memories here recently that Blake Christian, whoever signs Blake Christian is going to be signing a check. Their stock is going to rise. I felt like that this entire time. And I said that before Blake Christian debuted at GCW. Now he's since debuted at GCW, tore down the ring plenty of times for GCW. And now apparently, just over a year after me first seeing him, he's now allegedly signing to WWE. This is what I be talking about when I tell people you have to pay attention to the indies, because there are going to be people who get to the mainstream, rather, and you're going to have questions. Who are they? What the hell? Where did they come from? I don't know this dude at all. You don't know the dudes and the dudettes, the men or the women or the non-binary people, since we're there. You don't know who they are because you have not been paying attention. Blake Christian has been absolutely tearing it up. Now, I keep talking about GCW. He also recently just debuted for New Japan. He's done a couple of shows for Impact Wrestling. And again, like I said, now he's reportedly signing with WWE. I don't know for sure. And I'm not going to ask him because I don't want to blow up his spot like that. But this is what I'm talking about. The people that you see at these independent wrestling shows today could very well be the hottest thing going in a year. That guy that you paid $15 to come and see, and he absolutely tore the roof off, a year from now, you could turn on your TV on Monday nights or Friday nights or Tuesday night or Wednesday nights and see that same guy absolutely ripping it up the same way he did when you paid $15 to see him. If you are out there and you're not already a fan of the independent scene, I don't know how you are and you listen to my show, how you're not and you listen to my show. But if you don't listen to watch the independent scene, start watching it, because the same way that reportedly Blake Christian and Christian Casanova are signed to WWE, there's a lot of guys tearing it up right this second who are going to be in that position next year. There are some guys that I talk about on this show that I've told them privately, I've said it publicly, they're getting signed this year. Once wrestling fully opens back up and they can really be themselves, they're going to get contracts. I'm telling you guys, pay attention. Pay attention. This is why I do what I do. This is why I do this podcast. This is why I'm building OCPW. This is why I'm so involved in independent wrestling. If I sound kind of frazzled, it's because I am, because I love this, man. And I love moments like this. To think that I saw Blake Christian live. I filmed one of his matches. And now he is being signed by WWE. That's such an incredible full circle moment for me. So pay attention, man. These guys are going places. Let's get things started with our indie review this week. I've got two very awesome shows for you guys. First up, we're talking New Era Wrestling Presents Friend or Foe. You can find it on YouTube, available right now. We start our show with New Era owner James Phillips and Bubba Cagle in the ring for a face-to-face to discuss the actions of Bubba Cagle of the previous month. This was a really great opening segment as far as I'm concerned. I absolutely loved it. I think that it set up the show perfectly and it gave you a perfect reason as to why the show was named Friend or Foe. Now we get to our first matchup, a tag team match featuring Cameron Keith and James Hardy taking on Lucha Action, Antonio Garza and Action Mike Jackson. The winner of this match, as stated on commentary, moved on later in the show to face Kicks and Flips to determine the number one contender for the New Era Tag Team Championships. I haven't gotten to talk about him, and I don't know how often I will get the chance to talk about him. So I'm going to take this moment and say this right here. Mike Jackson is freaking incredible. Okay. This man is in his 70s. He's been wrestling over 50 years, and he hangs with wrestlers young enough to be his grandchildren, if not great-grandchildren. It's really an amazing thing to see. Lucha Action stayed in control for much of this matchup. They played some very smart veteran moves by isolating and taking liberties with James Hardy's injured knee. That knee seemed to be the story for the match, which I think was great. If your opponent has a target on their back, or in this case on their knee, why not take advantage of it? That's just smart wrestling as far as I'm concerned. Although this particular show and match is months old, they filmed this in, I believe, November, but it just came out a couple of weeks ago. I have to say that I am really impressed with Cameron Keast. I said it a couple of weeks ago when I talked about Pro South. I'm really impressed with Cameron Keast. Not only is his in-ring ability gotten so much better since the first time that I saw him, but his selling ability is great too. And I tell y'all all the time, if you're great with expressions, if you can sell, you could have a long career in the business if you're good at selling. Because 9 times out of 10, at least in my experience from being a fan, being in the business, a lot of the heat or the praise in a match comes from your ability to sell. So I like that about Cameron. I like that you can actually see his growth in the ring. Kudos to him. Cameron Keast and James Hardy get the win after a little bit of tomfoolery, and they move on, as I said, to face Kicks and Flips later in the night. Next up, we got Big Smooth taking on Brandon Watley, a matchup that I personally have been excited to see, and I don't believe I've seen it before. It has happened before, but I don't think that I've actually seen it up until this show. The styles clash between these two, the striking of Brandon against the straight up power of Big Smooth is something, it's something to see, bro. If I'm not mistaken, I was trying to think, I'll have to check with Tevin because more than likely he was with me. I believe I was in attendance for Smooth's debut match. Don't hold me to that, but I'm almost certain that I was. So to watch again, like I said with Cameron, to watch Smooth's growth over this time is a wonderful thing to see. The crowd was incredibly hot for this match from the very beginning, and the story told and sold itself. You know, I love matches that live up to expectations, that live up to the hype, and this is one of those matches. If you look at it on paper, it looks like a fantastic match, and it was just as fantastic as you thought it would be. I think that Smooth has an argument for being the best big man in the South. His agility and his ability to get a crowd into his match is bar none. It's very hard to really get a crowd into you. And I think that he has the ability to really get a crowd into him. I don't mean like they're into you because they're into wrestling. I mean into you. And into what it is that you are doing, heel or face. And Smooth does that better than almost anybody. And I think that if he does make that argument, this matchup would be a great matchup to showcase that. The two worked well together, and I absolutely wanted to see more of them. Next up, we've got the Widowmaker, Greg Dotson, taking on Victor Vargas. I like Victor Vargas, man. I like him a lot. Let me put that out there to y'all right now. He's super fun, and like I just said about Big Smooth, crowd involvement, man. If you can get the crowd into you, you've won as far as I'm concerned, because this is a business that lives and dies by the crowd. If the crowd is not into you, it doesn't matter really how good the match is. Honestly, the match can be good or bad. If the crowd is not actually into you, they're not going to give you much. And ultimately, it's going to fall flat no matter how great it is. So, you know, like I said, he's super fun and crowd involvement really is his thing. So this worked perfectly for him. I don't know, man. This match just worked. I don't know what it was. Everything about it just worked. I think Vargas being a fan favorite, and to my knowledge, with Dotson being a veteran villain for that crowd, the momentum of the previous match kind of bled over into this match as well. I just think that this match worked, man. Greg Dotson got the win, but the aftermath of the match is what was most intriguing to me. We get our athletic commission representative threatening Dotson's wrestling license, which led to a pretty significant moment. I won't spoil it for you guys, but you should definitely go watch it for yourselves because it was a pretty big moment. I don't know if they did anything after that with this moment. I hope they did because it was a pretty big moment. It got me pretty hyped. Next up, William Huckabee holds the Can You Whoop Me Challenge. At first, we get Orion Bishop, somebody else that I think has an argument for best big man in the South. But after, again, some tomfoolery, we get Tiny Hoss Jacob Ratliff to take on Huckabee. I enjoy Jacob Ratliff too, man. I really do. I believe he and Victor Vargas debuted in New Era on the same show. And I remember saying then how much I enjoyed the both of them. Although he had a couple of moments where he looked as if he would come back, ultimately Huckabee got the win after the right hand of God followed by a pop-up spine buster. Super, super solid match. Now we get a promo from Greg Dotson. We don't have to get into it on this show, but it was a damn good promo. It got me really excited and really hyped for whatever is to come between Dotson and James Phillips. It was super, super effective. I really loved it. Now, we were supposed to have Bubba Kegel's match, but we get treated to Big Smooth attacking Brandon Watley from the back. All I have in my notes is, I don't know what this is, but I'm here for it. I'm definitely ready to see what materializes from this. I think these two have the ability to put on some fantastic matches, as they did in this show. I think that they're, like I said, their styles clash perfectly. I think that their promo work would be effective. You know, I've been talking about Brandon being a little more aggressive recently. Big Smooth has always shown that aggression on his side. So I think that this could work, man. I'm really excited for that. We do end up having our match, though. New Era Open Champion Bubba Kegel taking on the returning Johnny Rage. This was a fun return because those of us who watch New Era had not seen Johnny Rage. I think at that point it had been maybe 2 months, something like that, since his match against, I want to say it was Greg Dotson. Johnny Rage was all over Bubba Kegel from the very beginning of this match. Which you can tell kind of threw Mr. 1985 off his game for the beginning of this matchup. What I loved most about this match was how back and forth it was. With Bubba Kegel's new attitude, it would have been easy to give him something easy peasy, but it wasn't that. Johnny Rage got in fantastic offense, and for a time it looked like this match could have gone either way. Ultimately, Bubba Kegel gets the win here and retains his title. Again, I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see what happens with this. I could see this Bubba Kegel, James Phillips thing going pretty far, and it has a lot of potential storyline-wise. We get a quick promo for Big Smooth that I won't talk about at length. Again, I'm only going to say this. If you are a promoter out there, book Big Smooth right now, because sooner rather than later, it's going to be too late to book him. That's all I'm going to say. Next up, we've got tag team action. Cameron Keith and James Hardy taking on Kicks and Flips, King Garuda and Takuri. Takuri and King Garuda, I do believe, both come from WWE A4. I won't spend time gushing over A4. Y'all know how much I love that place by now. Despite James's knee, this match was pretty back and forth as well. Cameron showed that growth again. Takuri and Garuda showed that solid experience of being a tag team. And James sold his knee extremely well in both high and low points in this match. He was constantly selling that knee. Even when he was in control, he still kind of, you know, motioned to his knee and showcased that knee. Smart bit of wrestling as far as I'm concerned. Kicks and Flips gets the win, and they are now your number one contenders for the tag team championships. Next up, we've got Orion Bishop in this special matchup taking on Alex Kane. Y'all know I immediately got hyped. I love Alex Kane. I've talked about him on the show before. I believe I've mentioned Orion Bishop as well. I've been digging him the more that I see him. So this matchup was pretty damn exciting for me. There was nothing special to this match, and I mean that in the absolute best way possible. This was straight up strength and technicality between two big ass wrestlers. I feel like I haven't gotten to say it in a while. So let's make this clear. Y'all know what I'm about to say. If you don't, get with it. Big motherfuckers doing big motherfucking shit. Orion Bishop picks up the win after a nasty spear, and I'm excited again to see where this thing with him and William Huckabee goes. Lastly, we get to our main event, Cody Windham taking on Dawson Kimbrell. Again, I don't think I've said anything about either of these men, but I really dig them both. I dig Dawson Kimbrell. I dig Cody Windham. Dawson Kimbrell has a fantastic skill set, and he's a natural babyface. I think he has the ability to go very far in the business, no matter how far he wants to go. Honestly, I think the same can be said for Cody Windham as well. He has the skill set and the look to be a major player in the business. They're both fantastic competitors. The storytelling played a huge part in this match. It really added to the tension that was so thick throughout this match. It felt more so that these two just wanted to fight one way or another. Stipulation be damned. These two were going to go at each other no matter what. So after a huge moment, I won't tell you, you need to go and watch the show. We get a double count out. The match then has to be restarted, and we get a definitive winner in Cody Windham, which sets up for the December show. Some tomfoolery happened, so we get to now the December show. And that's it for New Era Wrestling Presents Friend or Foe. Fantastic show. I cannot wait to talk about them more on the podcast. Be sure to go follow them. Go subscribe to their YouTube channel. They're doing some awesome work down there. They really are. I've been a fan of them for a couple of months now, so I'm excited that they finally uploaded a new show that I could talk about. I'm really excited to see where everything goes moving forward with New Era Wrestling. They have a show coming up. I believe it's this month. I could be wrong. But yeah, man, shout out to New Era Wrestling for all the good shit that they're putting out. Let's talk about Pro South Wrestling event number 533, Valentine's Day Massacre, next up. This is a show I was really excited to talk about. I knew as soon as they started announcing matches that I wanted to talk about it on the show, so let's get right into it. We kick things off real heavy, like Trevor Eon and William Huckabee taking on Southern Strong Style. That's J2 Strong and Proc the Croc Johnson. Early in the match, that veteran experience of Huckabee and Eon came into play as they took J2 Strong straight to the woodshed. The chop fest in this match was so real. Oh my God. Proc got in that hot tag though, and came in like a damn house of fire, ready to tear everybody up. Finally getting his hands on Huckabee, and they had their moment in the ring. Let me tell you something, man. Let me tell y'all a thing. Southern Strong Style has it. I've said it on here before. I've said it on Marking Out. Y'all know that it can't really be explained. It just kind of is. Southern Strong Style has it. I'm not sure if they tag together regularly outside of Pro South, but them two boys got something. Everything that they need to click is all clicking. They've been killing it every single time that I've seen them at Pro South, and I really think that makes them it really makes them a competitor. It really does, a competitive tag team. every single time that I have seen them, one thing that I've noticed is that, and one thing that I think that makes them work so well together, is that they're actually two distinct individuals. They stand out on their own. They stand out respectively. Their personal styles are not so similar that they kind of bleed each other out. So when they come together, it ends up being a thing of absolute beauty, man. Southern Strong Style, I'm telling y'all, Southern Strong Style has it. Do y'all hear me? Trevor and Huckabee get the win, though, in this tag team match after a nice little showing by all four men. And we end up getting some tomfoolery after the bell from Huckabee against Eon. I don't know what's brewing there, but that's some tea that I am absolutely ready to sip. Huckabee versus Eon, I'm all on board with that. Next up, we've got Shane Mako, the pickup artist, taking on Mr. Peach State Shane Knowles in what seems like a grudge matchup between these two. Early on, Mako started working on the arm of Knowles, and I love to see that. Going into this match, Mako had been saying that everyone would see a different side of him, and I think what he meant might have been a more aggressive side. He still had that braggadocious side about him, but he was certainly more aggressive in this match than I'm used to seeing him, and you love to see it. You love to see performers willing to evolve and turn it up another notch and do something a little bit outside of their usual. Knowles hit a pile driver on Mako. I thought it was going to send Mako to the goddamn moon, and he was able to kick out of it, which shocked the absolute hell out of me. Color me impressed, okay? After a super solid move, Shane Mako actually ended up getting a clean win over Shane Knowles. I know I've said it on here before, I'll say it on here again. Shane Mako is somebody to keep your eye on. Wherever he goes, whatever his ceiling is that he sets for himself, he is going to smash it. Dude has a crazy amount of potential on his shoulders. Next up, we've got one of my personal favorites right now, Hold My Beer Hansen, taking on James Hardy for the YouTube Championship. Listen, I don't think we talk about James Hardy as a performer quite enough here in the Southeast. He's a ring announcer, he's a commentator, he's an active wrestler, and he's good at all of it. It's hard for some people in this business to do one job correctly. So absolutely give James his just due for being good and active at everything that he does. After Hold My Beer Hansen drags James for the whole match, James makes his way outside and we get a surprise debut from someone who straight up takes out Hansen and helps James retain his YouTube championship. I missed his name. Somebody from Pro South is going to hear this and they're going to let me know his name, and I will have it at the ready for the next time that I talk about Pro South. But man, Pro South is great. Pro South does storytelling really, really well. After intermission, we pick up with that heat, cuz Tyler Culprit taking on Reynolds with the stipulation that if Reynolds loses, he will join the League of Terribles. That's Tyler Culprit and Attempted Murder Damien and Aleister Crowe. And the special guest referee for this match is Cameron Keast. Let me tell y'all another thing. Reynolds was on Culprit for the beginning of this match harder than I was on them wine bottles for my birthday, okay? I'm talking about hard strikes, came in like a fucking wrecking ball, no Miley Cyrus. I've missed a couple of Pro South shows, so I might be wrong, but I feel like this is the most immediate offense we've seen from Reynolds. It was a damn good change of pace for me. But Culprit quickly turned things around, which made sense. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Culprit is cerebral. I've said how cerebral he is and how seemingly he's always thinking a couple of steps ahead of his opponent. And he showcased that in this match, especially with the ending of the match. Culprit is always thinking one step ahead. Very underrated for that. Not a lot of people can do that correctly. So big shout out to him, because you look at him and you see the wheels turning. But the best part about the storytelling that he does is that you do not know where he's going to go. And he's that kind of heel that you don't know what level he's willing to stop at. Because right when you think, okay, Culprit, there's no way Culprit can go lower than what he did, he goes lower. He did that in this match. Quick side note, I love Faith and Shane on commentary. They both have a certain way of making you really give a fuck about what just happened in the match. So kudos to them. Tyler Culprit wins after, again, some straight up tomfoolery. I think Faith said it perfectly. The fix was in from the beginning, and now, seemingly, Reynolds is a part of the League of Terribles as well as Cameron Keast. If you want to know how the hell that happened, you got to watch the show. Event number 533, Valentine's Day Massacre. Next up, we've got Tag Team Championships on the line. Attempted Murder taking on the Champions Glass Ceiling. This was a whole chaos from the very beginning, okay? Y'all know I tell y'all frequently, almost every single show has this type of match. That fuck it, go crazy, just do shit kind of match. This was that. The Glass Ceiling ended up retaining, and then we're treated to Chris Kronk, Cody Steele, and a third person, a new debut, coming in and wrecking shop. The whole segment was goddamn crazy. There were chairs thrown, and Amy got involved with a damn, whatchamacallit, the thing when you break your leg, a crutch. It was damn crazy. Next up, we've got everybody's favorite stepfather, Roma Miller, taking on my dude, Brandon Whiteley, for the All Out Championship. Roma Miller got that early shot in on Brandon, and during the beginning of the match, he really stayed on him. And that is the best strategy if you're going up against somebody like Brandon, who is a striker. You got to smother him. You got to make sure he does not have the chance to find his balance and to get his strikes off. You cannot let him get any momentum. And I think that Roma did a great job of that really throughout the match, staying on him. In the end, though, Brandon Whiteley retains the All Out Championship. No muss, no fuss in this match. This was really a no muss, no fuss kind of match. It was actually a really fantastic showing for Roma Miller, though. It kind of felt like a coming out party. I don't know. I think of all the Roma Miller matches I've watched, this was his best one, or at least it was my personal favorite, because it just seemed to work. Like I said, he had it. It seemed as if he had this strategy of take it to Brandon early and make sure you smother him. There was no foolishness out of Roma Miller. It seemed like he took this match very seriously. I was extremely impressed by him. Now we move on to our main event. Austin Towers, the Chief, defending the Pro South Championship against the Ghost, Eric Silva, in a match that I said could end up being an instant classic in the history of Pro South. Two friends, former teammates. Towers has been definitively on top of Pro South for a while now. Silva is looking to take him out and get back to the mountaintop. The story writes itself. Beautiful. This match was fun. It was a fun match, a fantastic match from both men, but it was respectful and fun to watch. With all the left-hand path chants, you could tell that everyone in the building was in the moment and having fun and loving what was going on because of what we had to go through to get to this match and to get to this moment. The storytelling in this match was absolutely beautiful. Every moment meant something. Every move meant something. No wasted motions, no fluff, no muss, no fuss. Ugh, the shit, even today, I'm recording it the day after, shit gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. Now, after some very solid back and forth in this match, Austin Towers gets the win to retain the Pro South Championship. And so I'm going to say this, and I want y'all to hear me clear when I say it. It has taken some time, some trials and tribulations, and a whole lot of growth for him. This match made me realize that Austin Towers has quietly become one of the best wrestlers in the South. That's it and that's all. That's it for Pro South Valentine's Day Massacre Show. A fantastic show with some awesome matches top to bottom. I also want to give a shout out to Pro South really quickly for piece by piece stepping their game up. They've got a new graphics person. I noticed that they added some tweaks to their live productions. I'm really proud of what they got going on. Big shout out to them. What's up, guys? Thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you like what you are hearing right now, be sure to subscribe and follow the podcast wherever you're listening. Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any number of other podcast apps. Wherever you're listening to this right now, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Also, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain to keep the conversation going. Let's get back to the show. That is all that I got for you guys this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. It really does mean the world to me that you take time out to listen to your boy. If you like what you hear, this is your first time hearing me, you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe wherever you are listening to this. I'm on Anchor, I'm on Spotify, I'm on Google Podcasts, I'm on Apple Podcasts, I'm on Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you're listening to this right now, there should be a follow or subscribe button somewhere near it if you're not already. Go ahead and click that button so that way you stay up to date on not only this show, but my interview series. And I got some other stuff that I'm working on that's going to be on this feed as well. You do not want to miss any of it. So go ahead and subscribe, follow the podcast, leave reviews, all that good stuff. Make sure you're following me on social media. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Mr. Jordan McClain. Like I said, man, sometimes I be getting off these hot takes about wrestling on my Twitter. Usually that's where it's at, so make sure you're going ahead and giving me a good follow. Make sure you're checking out my interview series. It is coming back. Thank you guys so much for all the love that you've shown for my 3-part interview with Brandon Whatley, for my interview with Skrilla the Great. I am coming back. Just, you know, life happens. You can only do so much at one time, but the interview series is coming back. I'm going to start really soon working that out and giving you guys some new, fresh, hot interviews. But until then, be sure to check out the other interviews that I have on this same feed. I think that's it, man. I think that might be it for this week, you guys. Once again, subscribe to the podcast wherever you're at. Follow me on social media. Make sure you're checking out all the content. I think that's it, you guys. We got another one in the books. Love y'all.